بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Continuing in the chapter, the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, babu sifati salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the author, he mentions several narrations, and from them he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, an Abi Qatadat al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusalli wa huwa hamilun umamata binta Zainaba binti Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ولي ابن عاصي ابن الربيع ابن عبد الشمس فإذا سجد وضعها وإذا قام حملها. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Qatadah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would pray while carrying Umamata bint Zainab binti Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would pray while carrying Umama, she is the daughter of Zainab, which is the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she likewise is the daughter of Abil As ibn Rabi ibn Abd Shams, that is her father, and her mother is Zainab bint Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that means that Umama radiyallahu anha, she is the granddaughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would carry her in the prayer, and whenever he would make sujood, he would put her down, and whenever he would stand, he would carry her. And this is the narration the author, he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Abu Qatadata radiyallahu anhu, his name is Al-Harith ibn Rib'i Al-Ansari Al-Khazraji radiyallahu anhu, and he is known as Farisu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faris, meaning the horseman or the knight of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very well versed and experienced in riding horses and battling and the likes on horses. And he was from those who would travel with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and has been narrated that in one of the travels, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is riding, and he had fallen asleep, and he began nodding off, salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi, and Abu Qatadah radiyallahu anhu, he noticed that, and he eased up onto the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his horse, and he put his self beside the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going beside him, propping him up so he did not fall. And he did that in a gentle manner, in a manner that did not wake the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continued like that for some time. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up, and he asked Abu Qatadah about how long he had been there. And he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, hafidhakallahu bima hafidhta nabiyahu. May Allah preserve you and protect you in the manner that you have protected his prophet. In the manner that you have protected his prophet. Abu Qatadah radiyallahu anhu, he witnesses the battle of Uhud and the battles after that likewise. And he died in Medina radiyallahu anhu in the year 54 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here he is narrating that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would carry Umamata bint Zainab bint Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umama bint Zainab, she is Umama to bint Abil As ibn Rabi', and she is likewise the daughter of Zainab bint Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Zainab, she is the oldest of the daughters of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and has been mentioned that she was born whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approximately 30 years old. Her father, Abul As, his name is Laqit ibn Rabi', and he married Zainab radiyallahu anha before the coming of prophethood by a short period. But for some time he remained upon disbelief, and Zainab radiyallahu anha, she accepted Islam, and likewise she migrated And she left her husband behind upon his shirk and upon disbelief. And she migrated with those who migrated, radiallahu anha. But it is mentioned about him, about Abu al-As, his name is Laqith ibn Rabi', radiallahu anhu, that likewise he accepted Islam in the seventh year, in the seventh year of the Hijrah. And at this time he migrated as well to Al-Madinah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned the marriage back to him and back to Zainab. And he established that marriage that was established before at Islam. After he accepted Islam, then his marriage was given back and the contract was re-established and made valid. Zainab radiallahu anha, she died in the eighth year of the Hijrah. And Atiyah and other women from the Sahabiyat, they washed her, radiallahu anha wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. And likewise, Abu al-As, he died in the year 12 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for Umama, who was a baby and a small child at the time, at this time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, later in her life, Ali, radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he married Umama. At the advice of Fatima, he married Umama after the death of Fatima, with her advice and her wasiyah that he should marry Umama bin Zainab, radiyallahu anhuma. So these are our narrators and those who are in this narration. Abu Qatada, he says, radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusalli wa huwa hamilun Umamata بنت زينب بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولي أبي العاص ابن الربيع ابن عبد الشمس. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would pray while carrying Umama. In some narrations on his neck, and other narrations on his shoulder. صلى الله عليه وسلم, while carrying Umama, which is the daughter of Zainab, who is the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, and her father is Abu al-As ibn Rabi' ibn Abd al-Shams. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he says, فَإِذَا سَجَدَ وَضَعَهَا وَإِذَا قَامَ حَمَلَهَا, that whenever he would make sujood, he would put her down, and whenever he would stand, he would carry her, and he put her back on his shoulder, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would put her back on his shoulder, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In some wordings of this narration, in Sahih Muslim, it said, كَانَ يَأُمُّ النَّاسِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was leading the people in prayer. He was leading the people in prayer. So there are many benefits from this narration, and from them is that it is permissible to move in this manner, and the type of movement like we will see here in the prayer. And that does not invalidate the prayer. The movement like this, carrying a child, picking it up and putting it down, this does not invalidate the prayer. And likewise, movements that are similar to that as well, this also does not invalidate the prayer. And this is with regards to the obligatory prayer and the non-obligatory prayer. And likewise, this is with regards to whether it is the imam who is moving like this, or the one who is praying behind the imam, yani al-ma'mum, or whether it is an individual praying by himself, the munfarid. This ruling is included in all of them, that light movements in the prayer and movements like this in this manner, this does not invalidate the prayer, walhamdulillah. And also, from the benefits of this narration, we see that it's permissible to carry children in the salah, and that this is something that is allowed, and this is something that's permissible. The people of knowledge, they mention here in the statement of Abu Qatada, كَانَ يُصَلِي وَهُوَ حَامِلٌ أُمَامَةً, that he used to pray while he's carrying Umama, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned about this narration that this occurred one time. So this is not something that he would do always, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this is something that occurred. And this is to clarify the permissibility of this affair. And one would carry the child in the prayer whenever one has need for that. If it is needed, then one can carry the child and there's no blame on him, and this is permissible and good, alhamdulillah. But as for the purpose and the intent from the prayer, it is for the heart to be focused and to have khushu' and humility and humbleness. And no doubt that carrying a child and the likes like this would disturb a believer and could turn him away from that humbleness. And this is the goal from the prayer, وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. But if a parent or a guardian was in need or in a certain situation and the likes like this, then it's permissible. But it's not something that a believer will try to do all the time, but rather a believer will try to strive to have khushu' and humbleness and humility in the presence of mind in the prayer. And a believer likewise will avoid everything and stay away from everything that would distract him in the prayer. But if there is a situation whenever an individual is in need to carry a child like this or to make some slight movements like this, then this is permissible and this is allowed and this is from the ease in the deen, alhamdulillah. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see that the fundamental principle and issue with regards to the clothing of children and their bodies, yani of small children, is that their clothing is tahir, and likewise their bodies is tahir, yani tahara. Taharatu thiyabi al-athfali wa ajsamihim. And this is in the case, in the origin, yani this is the original ruling and issue that their clothing is pure and clean and free of najasa, and likewise their bodies. Unless it is established and known with certainty that there is najasa there, at this time one will not carry the child. If it is known that there is najasa on the child or there is najasa on the clothing of the child, at this time one will not carry the child in the prayer. At this time one will not carry the child in the prayer. As for in the case that it is not known, what is not established, and what is not certain that there is najasa on the child, then it's permissible to carry him in the prayer. And the origin is that there is no najasa there, not on him, not on his body, or not on the body of the child, and not on the clothing. But as for if it is established and known that there is najasa there, then it is not permissible to carry the child in the salat at this time. And Allah knows best. Likewise, from this narration, we see the noble manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his humbleness, and likewise his kindness, especially for the children, that he would carry that. And to clarify this issue, that he would humble himself and he would carry a child, a little girl, in the prayer, a small girl, and he would carry her like this in the prayer. And this is from his mercy and rahmah and kindness, and likewise showing concern for the parent of the child as well. That the Prophet, he would come out and he would carry the child, and he would carry the little girls in this manner, especially in those days whenever many of the Arab, they would refuse to carry the girls, and they had a dislike for the females, and it is known that some of them would even bury, that it happened from the Arabs, that some of them would even bury the females alive if they had female children, and the likes like this, and many of them they disliked to even carry, if they kept the child, they wouldn't like to carry the female child. But here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only did he carry her, but rather he carried her in the salah. He carried her in the salah. Also from this narration, we see the benefit that it is allowed to bring children into the masjid. And this is permissible, that the children, they can come in the masjid. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is with the condition that they do not harm the people, nor disturb the people. So if the child is going to be brought into the masjid, and then he is left to wander around and to run circles around the people praying and the likes like this, then this is not allowed. It is not allowed to come to the masjid and to disturb the people. And a believer should fear Allah, that he would ever disturb the people while they're trying to worship Allah, or be a means, him or anyone from his family, to be a means to disturb the people and to bring problems into the masajid and the likes like this. And this is something that a believer, he'll be concerned about. That if he is in need, if he is in need to bring the child to the prayer and to the masjid, he can do that and it's allowed for him. But he should keep the child close to him, and he should keep the child under control, and he should make sure that the child does not disturb the people, especially at the time during the prayer. Especially at the time during the prayer. So with regards to bringing the children in the masjid, this is allowed, but many of the people do not recommend it. And those who are not able to control their children, or their children are not able to be still in the likes like this, or to be quiet, then it is not recommended to bring them. But rather, if a person, he brought them out of need or necessity, then this is fine and this is permissible. But it's not something that one should do all the time, unless he has a need for that. Unless he has a need for that. And likewise, there is another mistake that some of the people make with regards to bringing the children in the masjid. And that is that there will be a child who is not of the age of tamyiz. He's not at the age of 7 or 8. and the likes like this, or above that, and they will stand him in the prayer with no wudu, standing him beside him in the prayer. And this is not correct. And the child who is not of the age of tamyiz, and he does not know how to pray, and he does not have wudu, and the likes like this, he will not stand in the row, in the ranks with the men in the prayer. And this is in reality cutting off the ranks. And this is in reality cutting off the ranks and placing a gap in the ranks. And this is not correct. But rather he will carry him or set him in front of him or the likes like this, or ask him to sit against the wall and wait silently and quietly in this manner. As for standing the child in the ranks whenever he's 2, 3, 4, 5 years old and he does not have wudu and he does not know how to pray or anything like this, he's not of the age of tamyiz, he can't even have an intention and the likes like this, and this is just making a gap in the rank and disturbing the people. As for the case if the child has reached the age of a tamyiz, the people of knowledge, they mention approximately the age of 7. At this time, it's allowed for him to make wudu and to be taught how to pray and to stand in the rank. But as for before that, then this is not correct. So the believer should be aware of these affairs and show honor and respect for the masajid and for the worshippers and the believers in the masajid, and show respect and honor for the prayer and perform this affair properly and in the correct manner. We see from this narration that the main benefit with regards to this, the people of knowledge, they mention the issue of moving in the prayer, the issue of having movement in the prayer. And we see here no doubt that carrying a child in the prayer and putting it down for ruku' or for sujood and picking it back up and so on and so forth, this is a lot of movement. But at the same time, this movement was done by the best of mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the people of knowledge, they discuss the issue here, masala al-haraka fi salat, masalatu al-harakati fi salat. And the people of knowledge, they mention that al-harakatu fi salati arba'atu aqsam, that moving in the prayer is four types. Moving in the prayer, having movement in the prayer, is four different types or four different categories. And the first one is the type that would invalidate the prayer. The first type of movement in the prayer is a type of movement that would invalidate the prayer. And it is the type of movement that is considered a lot, and it is consecutive and continuous. A lot of movement in the prayer that is consecutive and continuous without any need whatsoever, this type of movement will invalidate the prayer. Somebody who's moving constantly without a need and it's consecutive and continuous movement, then this type of movement will invalidate the prayer. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that type of movement is like whenever a person, if he were to see an individual moving so much that he would not even think that he's praying. They would see the person making so much movement, yani, that is not related to the prayer whatsoever. And the likes like this, that he would move in this manner and somebody would look at him and think that he's not even praying. That this type of movement invalidates the prayer, and the prayer will become invalidated because of this type of movement in the prayer. Yani, they say al-haraka al-kathira al-mutawariya li-ghayri darura, to have a lot of movement that is consecutive, that is continuous, without having any need or necessity. This type of movement in the prayer will invalidate it. The second type of movement in the prayer, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it is the movement that is disliked. And this is to have light movement, you know, not a lot of movement, but rather a light movement. This one, it does not invalidate the prayer, but it is disliked. Not a lot of movement, but rather light movement. But they mention here, without a need. There's no need for it. Like the one who is playing with his beard or playing with his clothing or moving around in the prayer and moving his hand or picking at his hair and the likes like this. And he has no need to move. He's just moving around. And the likes like this, that this type of movement that is considered a little bit, but there's no need for it. This type of movement is disliked. It does not invalidate the prayer, but it is disliked. The third type of movement in the prayer, it is not disliked. And nor is it recommended. And it's not disliked and nor is it recommended. And it is the type of movement that is light, but there is a type of need. There's some type of need for it. Some type of need for it. It's light. For example, somebody who has an itch or the likes like this, and he needs to move his hand to adjust something because he's uncomfortable, then this one is permissible. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, and there's a need for this, and it's light movement. It's not disliked and it's not recommended. It's not disliked and it's not recommended. As for the fourth type of movement in the prayer, then this is the type of movement that is recommended, or it could be considered obligatory. It is the type of movement that is recommended, or it could be considered obligatory. And this is the movement that occurs for the benefit of the prayer. This is the movement that occurs for the benefit of the prayer, or in order to establish something that is commanded, or something that is good and permissible. This is, for example, to move up in the ranks. For example, if there is a person praying and then he left the prayer for some reason and there's a gap for a believer to step up into the rank, then this is recommended for him, and to close the gap. And the believers, they should close the gap. Either a person, he will step forward and close that gap, or the individuals in that rank, they will scoot over and close that gap. In any case, even if a person were to step up from one rank to the next rank, which requires a bit of movement for a person to step from one rank to the next, but in this situation, it's for the benefit of the prayer to close the gaps in the prayer. So therefore, this is permissible, and this is something that is good and allowed, and the likes like this. So therefore, at this time, it is permissible to move, and it is allowed to move. And it has come, and not only this narration here, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moving in the prayer, carrying Umamah radiallahu anha and putting her down and picking her up, but likewise it has been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opened the door for Aisha radiallahu anha, that he would be praying one time, and that he moved to open the door for Aisha. And likewise, this is something that is permissible. And also, it has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he prayed one time, and he's leading the believers in prayer, and he would step up onto his minbar, and he would step up the stairs of the minbar, and he would pray standing on the minbar so that people could see him. And this is during the prayer, and he would make recite the standing and the ruku' all on the minbar. And then whenever it's time for sujood, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would step back down the stairs and he would prostrate on the ground. And then he would go back up the stairs and complete his prayer in this manner. This requires movement, but it is for the benefit of teaching the believers so they can see him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these types of movements, they do not invalidate the prayer. They do not invalidate the prayer. So the one who makes a lot of movement without necessity, this type of movement will... And a lot of movement that is continuous. And without necessity, this type of movement would invalidate the prayer. As for the one who moves a little here and there, and the likes like this, then this is disliked, and it does not invalidate the prayer. And as for the one who moves lightly, but it was for some type of need, then the people of knowledge, that this is mentioned, that this is not disliked, nor is it recommended. And then there is the issue of moving because of the benefit of the prayer. For the benefit of the prayer. So therefore, at this time, it would be recommended, or even could become obligatory if it was for the sake of the benefit of the prayer, or for an affair that is commanded, and it's something that one is ordered. For example, if a person were praying and then there is a child about to do something dangerous, like, for example, waliyadu billah, put a fork or something in the socket, then the believer will move and take the baby out of the way. And if he only required for him to move any briefly, and he did not turn away from the Qibla, so on and so forth, then inshallah the prayer will be correct and he could continue praying. But if the movement required for him to turn away from the Qibla and the likes like this, and extreme movement in this manner, then at this time the prayer would be invalidated and he would have to return. But in any case, it would be allowed for him to do this, to save a person from danger. And the likes like this, and Allah knows best, and Allah knows best. So we see that this narration has many benefits, and the main issue here is movement in the prayer, and the people of knowledge have mentioned the types of movement, and this has proceeded, and we close with that. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.